I didn't know whether to keep talking, so I waited for her to say something. And when she didn't, I went and stood beside her. She had her lips tight together and her eyes scanning the night. The picture was clutched in her hand, but her hand dangled by her side. It took a full minute for her to pull it up so we could both stare at it. "It has Tiburon SC written on the back of it," I said. August turned it over. "Deborah must have written that." Something close to a smile passed over her face. That would have been just like her. She had an album full of pictures, and she'd write on the back of every single one of them the place it was taken, even if it was her own house. She handed me the picture. I stared at it, letting my finger move across the word Tiburon. "Who would have thought?" August said. We went and sat in the swing, where we rocked back and forth, making little pushes on the floor with our feet. She stared straight ahead. Her slip strap had fallen down to her elbow and she didn't even notice. June always said that most people bit off more than they could chew, but August chewed more than she bit off. June loved to tease August about the way she pondered things, how one minute she was talking to you and the next she had slipped into a private world where she turned her thoughts over and over, digesting stuff most people would choke on. I wanted to say, "Teach me how to do that. Teach me how to take all this in." Thunder rumbled over the trees. I thought of my mother's tea parties, tiny sandwiches for a doll's mouth. And it washed me in sadness. Maybe because I would have loved so much to have attended something like that. Maybe because all the sandwiches would have been peanut butter, my mother's favorite, and I wasn't even that crazy about it. I wondered at the poem August had made her learn, whether it had stuck with her after she got married. Had she lain in her bed listening to T-Ray snore, reciting it while she fell asleep, wishing to God she could run away with Robert Frost? I gave a sideways glance at August. I forced my mind back to that moment in her bedroom when I'd confessed the worst of human things. Upon hearing it, she'd said, "I love you, just like I loved your mother." "All right then," said August, like we'd never stopped talking. "The picture explains how you came to Tiburon, but how in the world did you find me?" "That was easy," I said. "We hadn't been here any time before I spotted your Black Madonna honey, and there was the same picture on it as my mother had. The Black Madonna of Breznishar of Bohemia." "You said that real nice," August told me. "I've been practicing." "Where'd you see the honey?" "I was in that Frogmore Stew General store out on the edge of town. I asked this man in a bow tie where he got it. He's the one who told me where you lived." "That would be Mr. Grady." She shook her head. "I swear, it makes me think you were meant to find us." "I was meant to. I didn't have a doubt about it. I just wish I knew where I was meant to end up." I looked down at our laps, how both of us had our hands laying palm side up on top of our thighs, like we were both waiting for something to drop in. "So why don't we talk some more about your mother?" she said. I nodded. Every bone in my body was cracking with the need to talk about her. "Anytime you need to stop and take another break, you just tell me." "All right," I said. What was coming, I couldn't imagine. Something that required breaks? Breaks for what? So I could dance for joy? So she could revive me after I fainted dead away? Or was the idea of break so I could let the bad news sink all the way in? A dog started barking way off in the distance. August waited for it to stop, then said, "I started working for Deborah's mother in 1931. Deborah was 4 years old. The cutest child, but always into something. I mean a real handful. For one thing, she used to walk in her sleep. One night she walked outside and climbed a ladder the roofers had left leaning against the house. Her sleepwalking nearly drove her mother crazy." She laughed. And your mother had an imaginary friend. You ever had one? I shook my head. She called hers Tika T. She would talk to her out loud like she was standing right there in front of us, and if I forgot to set a place for Tika T at the table, Deborah would throw a fit. Once in a while, though, I'd set a place and she'd say, "What are you doing? Tika T's not here. She's off starring in the movies." Your mother loved Shirley Temple. "Tika T," I said, wanting to feel that on my tongue. That Tika T was something, August said. Whatever Deborah struggled with, Tika T could do it perfectly. Tika T made hundreds on her school papers, got gold stars in Sunday school, made a bed, cleaned a plate. People told your grandmother, Sarah was her name, that she ought to take Deborah to this doctor in Richmond who specialized in children with problems. But I told her, don't worry about it. She's just working things out in her own way. She'll grow out of Tika T in time. And she did.